Well, good morning. As we are here this morning, rain on the roof, lifting up the name of Jesus, somehow when we worship Jesus, it changes our hearts, doesn't it? And as we look to the Word, that transforms our hearts also. So I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13 on your devices, your Bibles. And then as we worship and we're transformed, we're empowered to go and serve Jesus. We want to do that as we dismiss here. So once again this week I heard a version of this story. Well, I love Jesus. I believe in God. But I've given up on church. And usually when people say that, then I hear, if there's time, I hear this story of, well, I used to go to church, and then somebody said something or did something that hurt me, and I quit. Or maybe it's not just a specific thing, but over the course of time, I see how the church is full of hypocrites. You've heard that, right? So many hypocrites in the church, and usually that's related to someone that did something that was unloving, unkind. Because there's this expectation we have, and it's actually a biblical expectation, that Christians are to be loving toward each other, right? Especially in church, not just in Sunday morning, but as we relate to each other in the body of Christ, we are to love each other. We are to be loving to each other. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen all the time. Now, your experience, how many of you are thinking or aware, can remember a time that obviously you haven't given up on church, you're here, but you remember someone that did something unloving to you, said something? You don't have to raise your hand. But my guess is that every one of us here can think of something that happened to us in the circle of church, Christians, that wasn't kind. It wasn't loving. So then we have the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins, our debts, as we forgive the debtors of others. And Jesus goes on to say that if you do not forgive, then you yourself will not be forgiven. So I have a simple word for you in all love and empathy. You need to forgive those that hurt you. You need to forgive. But that's not what the message is about. This morning, the message I want you to think about in this text, and you can go to the first slide there, that I want you to think not about how others have treated you, but I want you to think about how you are treating others in the church, in the body of Christ. Because this is a very powerful, hard-hitting passage this morning, that if doesn't matter what your gifts are, what your talents are, how you're doing great things for God, if you don't have love in your heart and you're not acting loving toward others, then the Bible says that you're nothing. It comes down to not how people are treating you, but how you are treating others in the body of Christ. Now, I've used this text many times at weddings, and often we have this as a love chapter. If you're familiar with the Bible, you probably know this passage, and it's appropriate to use at weddings, marriages, love is patient, kind, all that. That's great. But the context here is the church. So we're in this, we are together in the body of Christ. So that's the sermon series. We're together in the body of Christ, and so introducing this sermon series in Ephesians, we're members of God's family. Together we are His house, built on the foundation, the apostles, the prophets, Cornerstone is Jesus. We are joined together to be a holy temple. And so when the Bible talks about serving Jesus and being a Christian, yes, it's personal between you and God, but it's, I was going to say primarily, and maybe that's right, but it has to, it's always in the context of doing life together as brothers and sisters in the church, the body of Christ. So these New Testament passages over and over, they're referring to as we relate to the body, to each other in the body of Christ. It's not just primarily you and God, but it's you and the body of Christ, the church, relationships with each other. We're not meant to go through life alone with you and Jesus. But when we go through life, we have all these obstacles. And so the 1 Corinthians, the book, just about every chapter, talks about some of the threats of sharing life together. It's not easy. To live above with saints we love, won't that be glory? To live below with saints we know, well, that's another story. It's hard. And I suspect I know I have, and probably every one of you have at times thought, it's not worth it. Forget church. It's too hard. Because we hurt each other. We're unloving. But we can't do that because Jesus is too important. And so, this passage here, the importance of love. Again, not how people are treating you. Put that away for the next 20 minutes here. And just, I want you to focus on your life and how you are treating others in the body of Christ. So, as we come in worship, we're doing this together. It's so important. In fact, I have a little video here that I have a couple videos this morning that we're going to be showing. So let's do the first one, Vernon, about loving Jesus is doing life together.
Well, think about your list for a minute. You know, the stuff that fills your day. It's good stuff. There's a lot of it. Then once a week, we go to church, which is full of good stuff too. Back and forth it goes, week after week, and it kind of makes us wonder, is this stuff what life is supposed to be? We have all of this, yet it still feels like something's missing. Here's the thing, it wasn't always this way. Look at the early church. They were normal people just like us. They had stuff just like us. But for them, church was way different because it wasn't about going. It was about being the church, which makes us wonder, what if we lived like they did, intentionally, relationally, not doing different stuff, you still go buy milk, but if we purposely designed our lives around following Jesus together, and what if we didn't stop with just us, but we started inviting other people around us, looking for intentional ways to include them, to care for them, to be Jesus to them. If all of us live like that, then it can change this stuff. It will change us. It could change the people around us. It just might change the world.
All right. Again, just a simple point of being a Christian is being involved, active in the body of Christ, and that is the most important relationships, family, God, but your brothers and sisters loving each other, serving one another in the church. It's so important. Together, we are the body of Christ. So, when you give your heart to Jesus, your sins are forgiven, you're saved, you're going to heaven, and you're to live in relationship with brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And then the Holy Spirit in you gives you spiritual gifts. We talked about that in chapter 11 and 12. And so every one of us here have spiritual gifts that we are to use to serve the world and the body of Christ. Now the challenge is for us is that we, because we are born selfish people, we're always thinking about ourselves. We think, oh, wouldn't it be great if I had the gift of preaching or speaking or prophecy, or if I had the gift of tongues. And so even in the early church there in Corinthians, there was this, oh, the people that had the gift of prophecy, and that could be foretelling the future and also just prophetically speaking. No TV back then, no internet, so the people with the gift of speaking were elevated. They were looked up to, and they could communicate God's word, and so they were. And then the gift of tongues, and that's even today. Oh, I speak in tongues. Well, we'll get into that next Sunday about the gift of prophecy and tongues. But Paul is saying, wait a minute. The gift of love is most important. And I'm presenting that, I think, as looking at this text, it is a spiritual gift that God gives us. And we should all be asking for this gift of loving others. For some of us, it comes more natural, personality, but for all of us, we are to love, and we are to pray that God would fill our hearts with love, with this spiritual gift of love, because without it, we are nothing. Now, could we this morning, could you agree with me? Let's get back to the hypocrites in the church. Huh? Church is full of hypocrites. What I'm presenting to you this morning is that I am one of those hypocrites. And you also are one of those hypocrites in the church. Because, now I'll just talk about myself. I am the pastor of this church. I am, of all people, supposed to be the most loving, kind, compassionate person in this church. But I don't always get it done. Sometimes I act selfishly. Sometimes I'm thinking, let me back up, often I'm thinking more of myself than others. And I come to church here and I'm a hypocrite in that sense. Because none of us get it right, get it perfectly. So let's look at these verses. They're in your bulletin also, in the back page there. And what I'd like you to do is put your name in the blank. Now, everywhere there's a blank, it's the word love. Okay? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. So let's read this together out loud. And I want you to put your name in the blank. All right, let's practice a little bit. Everybody together, out loud, say your first name. Joe. Let's do it again. Joe. All right. So you're comfortable saying your name out loud? It's okay? All right, let's read this together. All together? Joe is patient and kind. Joe is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Joe does not demand his own way. Joe is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Joe does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Joe never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So what's your heart saying right now? Hallelujah. When you were saying, Joe, your name is patient and kind, was that a statement of truth? Or was that a statement of faith, hope? There's not a one of us here that spoke truthfully when we said, for example, Joe is patient and kind. Because when I say Joe is patient and kind, I'm immediately thinking of, okay, I wasn't very patient with so-and-so, or I wasn't as kind as I should have been. Because our standard of comparison is not other people, but it's Jesus, who lived on this earth and he loved perfectly. Jesus was perfectly patient and kind, not jealous, boastful. But the rest of us fall short of that. We fall short of being, of loving the way Jesus loved us. So we are here on this earth as children of God to love one another and to love others. We are called to do this together as the body of Christ. If life would be compared to a river, then all of us are swimming upstream, because in our heart is this innate selfishness where we, our first response is to think of ourselves, right? You've had this experience. You're telling somebody a story. Oh, guess what happened to me? And instead of them rejoicing with you, they say, oh, well, guess what happened to me? And you're like, wait a minute, I was talking about me. Can we just focus on me a little bit? But we want to focus on ourselves. We all do it. We all do it. We're all guilty of being unloving at times. We have to swim upstream against the tide, the current of selfishness, of thinking of ourselves and to think about others. So Jesus was very intentional when he walked on this earth. He loved people. He loved the sinners. He ate with them. He hung out with the people no one else loved and cared for. He swam against the current. And even when he was hanging on the cross and he was being mocked and ridiculed, remember what Jesus said, Father, forgive them. He was thinking of others, not himself. That is the standard, the example that Jesus gave us. And we sang this morning about Jesus' love. For God so loved you that he went to the cross. He gave his only son that whoever believeth in him should not perish. And so the appropriate response for every one of us at this moment is to accept it that we are one of the hypocrites. We have not loved as we should, as Jesus did. And so the appropriate response then is to simply go to the cross, to the rifted rock, rock of ages, cleft for me. And we go to Jesus once again and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I haven't been as loving as you want me to be. Forgive me. And when you do that, Jesus forgives you. There is no therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So my point right now is not that I want to make you feel condemned and guilty. I want you to be aware. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you about how you have been unloving. Again, not how others are unloving to you, but how you have been unloving. And then you go to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And Jesus does forgive you. He cleanses you. There is no condemnation. And the rest of that Romans 8 passage talks about the Holy Spirit coming in and giving you power to love. And so today again, we want to invite you at the closing, just to invite you to cry out to Jesus for his power in your heart so that you can love your spouse, your children, your parents, your family members, the people in your congregation, in the church here, and your co-workers and classmates, the world. So this passage goes on that our knowledge is partial and incomplete. This is a New Living Translation. When the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. What this verse is saying is that when Jesus comes back or when we die, then we will receive our heavenly body, our perfected state will be restored back to how God originally created us, Adam and Eve, without sin, fully able to fully love and understand. So, and the reason I think Paul is putting this here is that we have to accept the fact and be content, but in a sense be content that we're not going to do it perfectly on this earth. I am never going to love Naomi exactly the way Jesus wants me to love. I have to be okay with that. She has to be okay with that. We have to keep forgiving each other. But I'm not going to be okay with that because I'm still striving, seeking. This week, I want to do it better than I did last week. With God's help, I will do it better. So that's the attitude, as I understand the scriptures and what this is saying here. So we don't have it all together. It's okay. We'll get it all together someday in heaven. But then it's not okay. We want to keep striving. And there's three things here that Paul brings out here. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned like a child. So children are selfish. They're sweet. They're lovable and all that. But a childishness, part of that is just being selfish. They're thinking of themselves. Now, sometimes they do something really sweet and kind, and when they actually do that, we take a picture and put it on Facebook and say, wow, look what my child did, you know. But generally, they're acting selfish. They're looking out for themselves. And parents need to teach them. The foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The foolishness is just thinking about yourself. But now you are a Christian. I don't know how old you are in the faith. Doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're just newly saved or, like me, a Christian for 40, 50 years. Oh, I won't do the math. But we need to put away this childishness of selfishness, and we need to live for others, to love others. And it's like looking in a mirror. And back then, the mirrors weren't like that we have today. They were kind of a rough image. So the mirror didn't give you a lot of clarity. And so we're looking at love. We're looking at how to love each other. I'm looking at how to love my wife, my children, my congregation. And I don't see it very clear. And I'm struggling with that. I want to keep learning, but I'll keep struggling. My knowledge is partial and incomplete. Someday, I'll know it all. And in heaven, I will love you perfectly. Can't wait for that time. Until then, I'm going to struggle. You're going to struggle. We're going to struggle together. So let me just jump away from this text a little bit and just go to more of the application of this text. We together, if you're a guest here, then I welcome you to think about your relationships in the body of Christ. And if you're not a guest here, if you've been attending here like two Sundays, then you're part of us. And you're part of the body of Christ here. And we want Oakdale to be a loving church. We desperately want that. Oakdale to be a loving church. We want to love one another. We don't do it perfectly. If you've been here two Sundays or more, you've realized that we don't do it perfectly here. But we want to do it better. We're trying. So it's interesting that statistically, when you visit a church, the first 3 minutes of you walking in the door and the 3 minutes after the dismissal, what happens in those 6 minutes determines whether you'll likely come back or not. It's not the music. It's not the sermon. I'm still selfish enough. I like to think when someone comes back the second, oh, they love the sermon. Huh, maybe they did or didn't. But it's those 3 minutes when they walk in the door and the 3 minutes after dismissal that will determine whether they believe Oakdale is a loving church or not. So let's watch this.
The 6 minutes that matter most to church visitors might not be what you think. Surveys show that while the sermon and the rest of the worship matters, the 3 minutes before and the 3 minutes after church are the most critical time for newcomers. Visitors want to feel welcome. When no one other than the minister greets them on the way into or out of church, they won't feel the love. That's why the 3-minute rule can help any church. Let the faithful know that the first 3 minutes after church belong to people they don't know yet. Turn to someone nearby and say, "Hi, I don't believe we've met." Offer your name and a smile and a handshake. Then take a few minutes to get to know the person. If you have good greeters and ushers to welcome people, and the regular attenders take time to get to know visitors, you are more likely to find newcomers will come back again. It only takes 3 minutes. Shouldn't the Episcopal...
And just FYI, we're not Episcopal, but they're our brothers and sisters. So, when Joel dismisses us today, and for the first 3 minutes after the benediction, do not talk to anyone much. That's a little strong. Let me back up. Look for people you don't know very well, and go over to them and introduce yourself and welcome them. Now, this is like your first Sunday here, you don't have to do this. But if it's your second Sunday, like I said, then you're a part of us. So you're a part of looking to other people. So we want to be a friendly church. We want to be a loving church. And primarily, it's Jesus changing our hearts. But because it's so easy just to drift downstream, when we walk in the door and after the benediction, we're thinking about, who do I want to talk to? You're thinking about yourself. But think about others. So loving others. So here's another little thing about how not to greet people, because we can do it wrong. I think you'll enjoy this one.
Hi, I'm John.
Hey, I'm Tyler.
Is this your first time here?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, everyone! A visitor! I got a visitor!
Hey, how's it going? Are you new here? Hey, how's it going? I'm just so glad that you could... Hey, I'm Tyler. How are you?
Hi, I'm John.
Good. Is this your first time here?
Yes.
Oh, glad you can be here. What do you like?
You know, my wife and I, we'd love to have you and your wife over for dinner.
Oh, that's so nice.
Does tonight work?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Pastor Corey, he's been going through this series on how Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors, and I just feel like it'd be great to have you over. Tyler? Hey, I'm Mike.
Hi, I'm John.
Hey, I'm Tyler. What's your name?
Corey.
Is this your first time here?
I'm the pastor.
Achoo! Hi, my name's John.
Hi, I'm John.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, is this your first time here?
This is my first time.
Oh, this is great. We're so glad that you're here. Let's pray for you. Father in heaven, we pray for just our visitor here. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage her. We pray that you would...
That's a really nice toupee.
What toupee?
I don't think we've met before.
Yeah, I'm Mike.
Great. Nice to meet you, Steve. Hey, Paul, let me introduce you to a new friend.
It's Mike.
This is Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, I'm Tyler. What's your name?
Hi, I'm John.
How's it? Mike, how's it going?
Hey,
what's up? So good to see you.
Yeah.
Dude,
hey, come over here.
Okay, yeah, how's life doing?
Look, you got the time? Yeah. Do you get the time? 9:30.
And yeah, this is my first time here.
Well, it's great to see you. We're so glad that you've come and joined us today.
I appreciate it.
Hey, I've got a couple friends over here. Why don't you come with me and let me introduce you to them.
Okay. All right. Great.
So would you help us as a body of Christ? We're in this together. Would you help Oakdale be the most loving congregation possible? That includes Sunday morning, when you prepare to come to church, you're not thinking, well, I know you will, but you're trying not to think, who's going to care for me this morning? I hope people are friendly to me. It's a legitimate feeling. But make it your prayer, Lord, who can I love this morning? Who can I show kindness to? Lord, bring me someone that needs a listening ear. That's how you approach Sunday morning and loving relationships. That's the spirit of 1 Corinthians 13. And it doesn't end, obviously, with Sunday morning. But it's a whole life. It's during the week. So Oakdale has, we have a Oakdale Connect page on Facebook. I love when someone puts a prayer request on, then immediately there's people saying, I got you, I'm praying for you. That's loving each other. And there's many, many other ways throughout the week that we can, I'm hearing stories all the time of people who are texting each other, calling each other, visiting each other. In fact, just this week, someone was in a difficult situation and I went over to talk to him and they told me how, oh, this person from Oakdale was here and this person from Oakdale, and there was like four people from Oakdale that had reached out to them already before I ever got there. So grateful for that. So we're doing it. Thank you. Thank you for loving people in this way. And let's keep on loving each other. And one of the realities of a church this size is that we don't know each other all the time, very well. And so we cannot love everybody at a deeper level. In fact, I, as a pastor, this VBS summer, I sat next to someone and I introduced myself. I'm the pastor of Oakdale, and what church do you attend? And this lady graciously smiled and said, I attend Oakdale for about a year. I was like, oh. So with two services, we know that. And even with one service, we can't know each other. But you can know a few people. And you can love a few people at a deeper level. So my challenge is that, okay, we're not going to know and love each other, all of us, but we can love a few people. And you're doing it, and thank you. We have our community groups. That's a great way to have a circle of relationships that you go to at a deeper level. So I'm a part of a community group. And this week or last week, one of our community group members moved, and guess who showed up to help him move? It was members of our community group that showed up just to love this person and to support him and help him. We can't do it for everybody, but we can do it for a few. And you can't do it for everybody, but you can do it for a few. So give yourself to loving people in this way. All right. There's just all kinds of verses. I won't go into them, but this passage in 1 Peter 2, over and over, the Bible, New Testament, saying, guys, you've got to, as a body of Christ, you've got to love each other. Love each other deeply with all your heart. Love each other deeply. You have to give yourself. Now, don't focus on how are people loving me, how am I being treated, but you focus on how you're treating other people, and you give yourself to love others. That's the spirit of Christ. Now, this is a sermon for another time, but let me just introduce it here. There's this church in Laodicea in Revelations, and they were lukewarm. And a very brief Joe paraphrase of the Laodicean church is they were living selfishly. They weren't loving each other. And the Bible says, God says that I will spit them out of my mouth because they weren't loving. Now, one translation of that application, it means that those people are not saved. They're not even Christians because God spits them out of his mouth because they were just so unloving, there was no fruit there, and they weren't Christians. So Christians are known by how they love each other. But at the end of that little passage about the Laodicean church, you have this verse here. And I love this, and this is our hope. And this is, there's two things I want you to do in closing here. One is, would you, when you think of your life, again, don't think about how other people are treating you. Think about how you can ask Jesus in this closing song, I want you to pray, Jesus, how have I been unloving toward others? And if there's a person or a situation that comes to mind, then you ask Jesus to forgive you. Now that's the easy part. Because if there's someone that you know that you have been unloving, unkind toward, If somebody comes to the mind and you've not treated them this way, if it's appropriate, usually it's appropriate, you go to them. You go to them and you tell them three things. I'm sorry that I was unloving. I was wrong in how I treated you. I was wrong in how I treated you. Forgive me. Will you forgive me? Ask for their forgiveness. Wait for a response if it's appropriate. And then you say, what can I do to show love to you? Or maybe you know already. Take it serious. Go to the person that you've been unloving toward. And the second thing in closing here is trying to get back to that revelation. Thanks. Jesus is inviting you. Remember I talked about the power, the Holy Spirit power in you gives you the power to love. Jesus is always knocking. This isn't about salvation. This is about Jesus wants to walk with you every day. So come in, spend time every day coming to Jesus and letting Jesus, his word, change your heart, fill you with love, and only then will you be a loving person. I invite you to stand and, Christian, come up. You can't do it on your own. You're not strong enough to be a loving person in this way. So you're going to need help. And Jesus is there to help you. And he wants to change your heart through the power of his love. He's not going to force you, but as you come to him, he will change your heart. So Jesus, come and speak to each of our hearts. Show us how we've been unloving. Cause us to repent. Change us by the power of your love.